Folks, glad to have you with me again at the Old Diamond Cave. I was thinking today about a most interesting trip I took some years back to South America and about a yarn a friend of mine told me. I think you might enjoy it, too. It's a little different, but if you like strange stories about gold and lost cities and exciting adventures, you'll like this story very much. So forget your cares and worries and come with me to Incaland, the treasure house of the ancient world.
From the tack room of Ken Maynard's Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you stories of adventure, stories of circus life, fascinating transcribed tales of the Old West, where cowboys still follow the cattle trails, stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold, and buried treasure. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. Now, Ken has a whopping story to tell you today, and as he said, it's a story of Inca Land. So while you're getting all settled, because you won't want to miss a word of this story, I'd like to tell you how Ken Maynard can say hello to you personally. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Just imagine Ken's voice saying,
"Hello, Charlie. Hello, Alice."
Or whatever your name is. Well, that's exactly what happens when you order a Diamond K record album of Ken Maynard stories. He'll personalize them, tell the story especially for you, and call you by name right on the record. And wait till you see the album. It's in full color with a picture of Ken and Tarzan on the front and another action picture of Ken and Tarzan on the back. And inside are two complete Wild West tales that you can play on your phonograph anytime you want. And the first thing you'll hear is Ken Maynard calling you by name. And say, these records have pictures of Ken and Tarzan on them, too. Send for yours right away. Just send your name and address and a dollar to Records in care of this station. Can you imagine just $1 for this rootin' tootin' Western album of records? Why, they're standard 78 RPM speed, just like Mom and Dad have used for years, and they're made of the finest material that money can buy. So you don't have to worry, because they're unbreakable and you can play them over and over again and never worry about wearing them out. These pure vinylite records are the finest quality that money can buy. But still, you send only $1 with your name and address to Records in care of this station, and your album will be mailed to you. Now let's hear Ken's story for today.
Well, as I told you, I'd like to take you with me today on a trip down to South America and tell you about the lost city of the Incas, just as it was told to me some years ago. I was staying at Lima in Peru, and a friend of mine who runs a museum there told me I mustn't leave Peru without seeing the lost city. Maynard, he said, I know you're a great one for hunting lost things like mines and treasures, and I want you to see this city, which was lost for 400 years. I'd like it very much, I told him. Was any gold found there? He laughed and said, yes, and some things more important, too. But the most interesting story is the way the old city was found. Would you like to hear it? I said I sure would. So he sat down and told me the following tale, which I will tell you. It seems the ancient race called the Incas and other unknown races before them built great civilizations centered around huge rock cities. They were conquered by the Spaniards several hundred years ago because the Spaniards' greed for gold was very great and the Incas had more gold than any race who ever lived. But to the Incas, it was not a precious metal, but a beautiful, sacred substance, easily worked and decorated. You can imagine how the Spanish eyes glittered to see temples, idols, chains, and even furniture made of solid gold. They stole all they could, but the Incas hid many tons of it, and is still there somewhere to this very day. I have looked for it myself, but the Incas were very clever, and the great underground caverns where they probably hid most of it was sealed, and no one today, except maybe a few surviving Indians, know where it is, and they will never tell. Anyway, the whole story of the Incas is one of the most fascinating in the world, and I want you to remember to read about it when you get time. Now, the lost city of the Incas is a very real place. It is called Machu Picchu. Until a few years ago, it was unknown even to the remaining descendants of the Incas. They had forgotten all about it. It was so old. And it was hidden by dense jungle. Nearby, down in the Urumba Valley, lived a Quechua family, which is what the descendants of the old tribes are called today. They are farmers tilling the high, barren soil as their forefathers did thousands of years before. There was a young brother and a sister in this family, and their names were Titu and Kita. Titu was a strong, brown-skinned lad, and his sister was his companion on exploring trips, which they loved to make far up in the mountains whenever they got the chance. They helped their father tend the sheep and hoe the gardens, but during the rainy season, when the great storms came in from the sea and filled their stone cisterns, they had more time together. One day their fathers told them they could have all the next day to themselves, so they made plans to explore further into the mountains than they'd ever gone before. They got up early before the sun and packed a basket with bread, cheese, and water. And fastening on their straw sandals and wrapping up in their warm cloaks, they started out. The air was so clear and pure they could see for miles across the valleys, thousands of feet deep and up to the snow-capped mountains, thousands of feet still higher. If you had tried to go with them, you'd have been out of breath in no time because the air is so thin in that high country. But Titu and Keita were used to it, and it didn't bother them a bit. Titu carried a strong stick to help him climb and to guard against snakes. There are lots of them there, and they're very dangerous. They climbed for hours, and at last in the early afternoon came out on a high ridge with a great gorge falling away on all sides. There were strange rocks all about, and of huge size, and Keita climbed up on one of them and said that's where they would have their lunch. So they did, and enjoying the wonderful view of purple and blue mountains and green valleys while they ate their bread and cheese. So far, they hadn't seen any ruins of old cities or anything unusual. But all at once, Keita said to her brother, "Look there, Titu." She pointed to the very rock on which they were sitting. There, almost hidden by the grass and underbrush, was some odd-looking figures carved in the side of the big boulder. In no time, they both scrambled down to have a closer look. Titu worked at the mossy covering and the creeping vines and dirt of centuries. He used his sharp knife, and with Keita to help him, in a few minutes they'd uncovered a wonderful face carved in the stone, the face of an ancient Inca, one of their ancestors. They worked like beavers to clear away more of the undergrowth, and every minute, seeing something new brought to light. Carvings of animals, decorations of many kinds, and when Titu began digging with his hands at the bottom of the rock, they found what appeared to be a stone step. Titu and Keita sat down to rest for a bit. Now that they knew what to look for, they could see the other big rocks were carved too in strange ways. There was no doubt they were sitting on top of a buried city. But it was getting late, and soon they'd have to start home. Titu wanted to stay there all night, but Keita said they'd have to go home and tell their father about it, maybe come back another day. Suddenly, Titu noticed a small hole under the rock. It was no bigger than a rabbit hole. But he poked his stick in it and all around and couldn't touch the end of it anywhere. With his knife and hands, he enlarged it enough to crawl in. It was dark and scary in there and very damp. Then his foot touched something, something that rattled, and he leaned down to pick it up. Well, now, folks, I'm going to give the story a rest for just a minute while I calm down a bit. Do you know how many miles of thread go into a K-shirt? Well, neither do I, and really, who cares as long as a shirt looks good, feels good, and wears a heck of a long time. That's the way I feel about my K-shirt. I wear one every day, as regular as clockwork, because they're so easy to slip into. No buttons or zippers or anything. Just pull them on, you're ready for work or play. Now, the K-shirt is cotton, like a T-shirt, and just about the same color as desert sand, with a big red Diamond K brand blazing across the front, and, of course, Tarzan and me. We've got our pictures there, too. Well, there's the K-shirt story. If you want to join the Diamond K Cowboys who are wearing one, just send your name and address and size to K-shirts in care of this station. The K-shirts come in sizes 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12. Ask Mom. She'll know what size you wear. But send a day so your K-shirt will be sent by mail direct from Hollywood right away. Send your name and address and size to K-shirt in care of this radio station. Now back to our story for today. Well, Titu picked up the object he found in the ancient cave and crawled out to see what it was. It was a jar of old Inca pottery, and Keita peeked in to see what was rattling in there. There was so much dirt she couldn't tell for sure, so they carefully packed the jar in their food sack and hurried home as fast as they could go. It was long after dark when they got there, and their parents were about to go in search for them. They got quite a scolding for staying out so long, but Titu didn't mind. He breathlessly told his father the whole story, but his father didn't believe a word of it. He thought Titu and Keita had made it all up so they'd be allowed to go on more exploring trips next time. But Titu suddenly remembered the pottery jar. He'd been so busy eating and talking he'd forgotten for a moment. He ran and got it from the knapsack, and his father examined it closely under the candlelight. It was beautifully made and carved. And the father nodded his head. "Maybe you are telling the truth," he said. "This is a real vase from the olden times. But what is it that rattles inside?" He shook it and turned it upside down on the kitchen table. Everyone held their breath because there, among the dust and pebbles, out tumbled a beautiful golden necklace and lay there in the candlelight, gleaming through the dust of centuries. "Father, Father," Titu cried, "do you believe now that I've found the ancient city?" "Yes, son, I do. And you must take me there tomorrow. I would see this wonder with my own eyes. So they carefully hid the golden necklace, and the next day went back up the long valley and climbed the great mountain to Titu's city in the sky. The father looked at the carvings and the steps in the cave and poked under dense jungle growth where the faint outlines of buildings, temples, and walls could be seen. Titu was very happy. Oh, father, let's come here every week and take away the gold, which must be hidden. We'll be rich and have fine things and never work anymore. But the father shook his head. No, he said, we will leave it just as you found it. This is a sacred city of our ancestors. If we come and take away the treasures, then others will soon know and come too and destroy. No, let's leave it as you found it and keep the secret. Someday, when the time is right, you may tell, but only if you know the sacred things will be protected and preserved. So they covered the steps and closed the cave and went home, keeping the secret to themselves, strange as that may seem. Well, sir, many years later, after Titu's father and mother had passed away, and Titu was living alone, farming the old place and visiting Kita every week, the right time came along. Both of them kept the sacred secret all those years and kept the golden necklace safely as a family treasure. Then one day, a great American university sent an exploring expedition into that valley, seeking to find and preserve the remains of the ancient days. Titu watched them and talked with the leader of the party and became convinced that at last the time was right to reveal his long-kept secret, and he did. He led the expedition to the Manchu Pichu, and without Titu, they could never have found it. Today, the lost city is clean and restored and preserved, and the sacred things are safe in museums where they may be studied and admired by the whole world. So who will say that Titu's father was not wise and a great man? Well, when my friend finished telling me this story, I sat thinking a long time, wondering if other lost cities might not be sleeping up there in the great mountains. What became of the necklace, I asked him. He got up, took me over to a glass showcase. There it is, he said. And sure enough, there, gleaming and beautiful, lay the masterwork of a long-dead goldsmith, the priceless treasure which graced the lovely neck of some Inca princess in the long, long ago.
Well, now, everybody, I think that is, just as Ken said, a truly amazing story. And you know, Ken has had so many exciting adventures himself, he just never runs out of adventurous stories. Of course, he has his favorites, and two of them are the ones he tells on his Diamond K. Western album. They're full of action and suspense, wonderful stories that you want to hear over and over again. And you can hear them anytime you want when you have this Ken Maynard record album for your very own. Don't forget, you can't buy these records in any store. The only way you can get one is to send your name and address to Records in Care of this radio station. Be sure to include a dollar bill. Now, that's a mighty little price for all the fun you'll have with this album of Western stories. And remember, it'll be personalized with Ken saying hello to you by name right on the record. So don't wait any longer. If you haven't already sent in, or if you want another album for a gift, send the name and address the album is for and the dollar to Records in Care of this station. Remember, always include the name you want on the record so Ken can say hello to you or to whoever the record is for, and he'll say it right on the record. Now get those dollar bills in the mail today. Now, once again, we'll go back to Ken.
Well, folks, it's time to bring our story roundup to a close. This is Ken Maynard and Tarzan. Closing up the tack room at the Diamond K Ranch till I see you next time, when I'll tell you the story, The City of Gold. We'll be looking for you. And in the meantime, get your $1 bills in the mail now for some real Western fun. So long.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond Cave. Stories of adventure told by Ken Maynard, internationally famous cowboy and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond Cave was produced and transcribed in Hollywood.